Thank you for joining us. You are listening to the podcast that highlights the weekly sermons from Cumberland County Community Church in Millville, New Jersey. Each week, you will hear biblically based messages from our senior pastor, Sal Roggio, or other community church pastors. For more information on our church, please visit cccmillville.org or check out the links in the podcast notes. We begin each message with our scripture reading, so here we go.
Today we're in Leviticus 16:1-22. The Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they drew near before the Lord and died. And the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron your brother not to come at any time into the holy place inside the veil, before the mercy seat that is on the ark, so that he may not die. For I will appear in a cloud over the mercy seat. But in this way Aaron shall come into the holy place, with a bull from the herd for a sin offering, and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen coat, and shall have the linen undergarment on his body, and he shall tie the linen sash around his waist, and wear the linen turban. These are the holy garments. He shall bathe his body in water, and then put them on. And he shall take from the congregation of the people of Israel two male goats for a sin offering, and one ram for a burnt offering. Aaron shall offer the bull as a sin offering for himself, and shall make atonement for himself and for his house. Then he shall take the two goats and set them before the Lord at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And Aaron shall cast lots over the two goats, and one for the Lord and one for the other lot for Hazazel. And Aaron shall present the goat on which the lot fell for the Lord and use it as a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell for Hazazel shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement over it, that it may be sent away into the wilderness to Hazazel. Aaron shall present the bull as a sin offering for himself, and shall make atonement for himself and for his house. He shall kill the bull as a sin offering for himself. And he shall take a censer full of coals of fire from the altar before the Lord, and two handfuls of sweet incense beaten small, and shall bring it inside the veil, and put the incense on the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is over the testimony, so that he does not die. And he shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the front of the mercy seat on the east side. And in front of the mercy seat, he shall sprinkle some of the blood with his finger seven times. Then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people, and bring its blood inside the veil, and do with its blood as he did with the blood of the bull, sprinkling it over the mercy seat and in front of the mercy seat. Thus he shall make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the people of Israel, because of their transgressions, all their sins. And so he shall do for the tent of meeting, which dwells with them in the midst of their uncleanness. No one may be in the tent of meeting from the time he enters to make atonement in the holy place until he comes out and has made atonement for himself and for his house and for the assembly of Israel. Then he shall go out to the altar that is before the Lord and make atonement for it, and shall take some blood of the bull and some of the blood of the goat and put it on the horns of the altar all around. And he shall sprinkle some of the blood on it with his finger seven times, and cleanse it and consecrate it from uncleanness of the people of Israel. And when he has made an end of atoning for the holy place and the tent of meeting and the altar, he shall present the live goat. And Aaron shall lay both hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the iniquities of the people of Israel and all their transgressions of all their sins. And he shall put them on the head of the goat and send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a man who is in readiness. The goat shall bear all the iniquities on itself to a remote area, and he shall let the goat go free in the wilderness.
Well, today as we continue our study through sections of Leviticus, I want to deal with one particular word and topic, the word atonement. In the passage you just heard read, the word atonement was in it seven times. And one time the word atoning was in it too. So it was a very popular, well-known word in the Jewish population. Actually, in Christian populations, it's a well-known song, word in songs. Remember the song, Christ for Sin, Atonement Made. What a what? Anybody remember? Christ for Sin, Atonement Made. What a... Are we that young a congregation? What a wonderful Savior. That's one of the hymns that we sang in churches for years and years and years. Strange as it may seem, the word atonement is not used in the New Testament. And that's important to understand. It's used in the Old Testament over and over and over again, but not in the New Testament. There is one place in the King James where the word is used, but they believe it was mistranslated in Romans 5:11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. But in the New King James, they corrected that in Romans 5:11. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. So we need to understand the word atonement in the Old Testament to be able to fully appreciate the work of Christ in the New Testament. So let's look at it from the Old Testament. The meaning of the word. The literal meaning in the Hebrew word is kippar, which means to cover, to expiate, to placate or cancel. Thus it could be translated appease, make atonement, cleanse, forgive, be merciful, pacify, pardon, purge, or put off. Now, Yom Kippur, we already know that word because we've heard it very often. It means a day of covering. Leviticus 16:30, for on this day shall atonement be made for you to cleanse you. You shall be clean before the Lord from all your sins. Thus the Old Testament believer was clean before the Lord. The word atonement is often spoken as at one with the Lord. But God accepted the Old Testament believer, the animal sacrifices, only because he was putting their sins on the Savior's account. Hebrews chapter 10 makes that very clear. For since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come, instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. Hebrews 10:2, for otherwise they would not have ceased to be offered, since the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sin. However, that wasn't true. And every year they had a day of atonement. Hebrews 10:3, but in these sacrifices, notice this, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. Then verse 11, and every priest stands daily in his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. So each time an animal was sacrificed, it was as if Christ signed a promissory note saying, I will pay for that sin. God the Father accepted the promise. Listen to what it says in Romans. But now the righteousness of God has been manifest apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there's no distinction. For all have sinned and come short of, fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation, that's a satisfaction of the righteousness of God, by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness. Notice this line here. Because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins. What does it mean that he has passed over former sins? It means that the atonement had a covering for sins, and they were passed over. People were able to be called forgiven based not upon simply the sacrifice of atonement, but the looking forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who would die on the cross and would remove the sin from mankind. So it says in Romans 3:26, it was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. And so the Old Testament believer was forgiven. There was a day of atonement, but it was looking forward, always looking forward to the cross. Of course, God is all-knowing, and he knew that his son would come and die on the cross for the sins of men. And so Old Testament believers were saved by the blood of Christ eternally, just as New Testament believers are. Though they didn't understand that, they simply had the sacrificial system. But God in his foreknowledge knew that there would be a time when the blood of Christ would be spent for mankind and all could be forgiven. Now the appropriation of forgiveness was the same. It was by faith. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. David knew what it was to be forgiven. He was an Old Testament saint, and he understood this. In Psalm 51:7, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Yet for him and all the other on the other side of the cross, there was the yearly reminder of the covering, the atonement, which was a temporary measure. Hebrews 10:3, but in these sacrifices there is a reminder every year. But God in that event was teaching his people that one day their sin would be removed forever. And that was looking forward to the cross. We don't have a yearly sacrifice. Christ was sacrificed once for all, and it covers all sins. Incidentally, all of your sins were future when Christ died, and when the Old Testament saints where the blood of Christ was applied to them, all their sins were past. And some of your sins are still future. Sorry to say that we are sinful people and we fail, and they're still future. But the blood of Jesus Christ has forgiven us and has cleansed us. We are part of the family of God based on our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's look at the sacrifice, the atonement sacrifice. First, there is a sin offering, a bull for Aaron and his family. Leviticus 16:6, Aaron shall offer the bull as a sin offering, notice this, for himself, and shall make atonement for himself and for his house. Now, of course, Jesus did not have to do that. When Jesus died on the cross, he didn't have to make atonement for himself. He was the perfect, sinless sacrifice. But now, something would be added then to the process. In Leviticus 6:7, notice what happens. Then he shall take the two goats and set them before the Lord at the entrance of the tent of meeting. So at this day of atonement, there were two goats that were included in the sacrificial system. And Aaron shall cast lots over the two goats, and a lot for the Lord and a lot for Azazel. Now that one, that's incidentally a transliteration, it really means goat of departure or scapegoat. If you read that in the King James in Leviticus 16:8, and Aaron shall cast his lot upon two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. The goat for the Lord was slain. So there's two goats. One is slain, and that's part of the sacrificial system, but one is not. And Aaron shall present the goat on which the lot fell for the Lord and use it as a sin offering. Then what would happen? Well, the scapegoat would be let go. In Leviticus chapter 16:10, but the goat on which the lot fell for Azazel shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement over it, and that it may be sent away in the wilderness of Azazel. Now, incidentally, I prefer the old translation, scapegoat. It's a lot easier to work with, but this is a transliteration so we understand what it means. So here is what took place. In Leviticus 16:20, and when he had made an end of the atoning for the high priest, the tent of the meeting and the altar, he shall present the live goat. And Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the iniquities of the people of Israel and all their transgressions and all their sins. Now let's just Pause there a moment. He didn't have a list of 5,000 sins on a sheet of paper. This was a general sense. Lord, forgive your people, for they have sinned. And he may know some specifics, but he wouldn't have enough life to list all the sins of all the people of the land of Israel. But he would pray in a general sense for all their sins, and he shall put them on the head of the goat and send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a man who is in readiness. And that scapegoat would go, and the idea was that the goat was let go into the wilderness, never to be seen again. And it was an idea of the separation of sin, and that there would be a removal of sin for those in the nation of Israel. So we see the atonement in the Old Testament and the atonement sacrifices, but let's look at the New Testament and atonement. As we saw earlier, the word atonement is not a New Testament word. I believe God's word wants us to know that our sin is forgiven and dealt with, but he wants us to know it in a different manner. Atonement is not inclusive enough a word to tell us all that took place on the cross. Remember, the word atonement meant a covering, and it's much more than that for the believer. Notice, this is why he appears over and over again in the Old Testament, but not in the New. While it is true that we have an at-one-ment with the Lord, with Christ, it's also true that my sins are washed away, not merely covered. As the song goes, what can wash away my sins? Maybe you'll know the second line to this. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Good, I'm getting up in the right era. What can wash away my sins? One might say the scope of my sin is covered, but reality is it is not covered, it is removed. Theologians have launched onto the word atonement to represent all the work that Christ did on the cross. But we must realize it falls far short in describing all that occurred. We can see their problem. One can hardly find a word that is adequate enough to describe what Jesus did on the cross. Perhaps expiation is a better word, as it can be defined as making full satisfaction for sin by restitution and removal of the sin. One only needs to consider all that Jesus did accomplish on the cross to see we need a broader perspective. So the New Testament gives us a number of words that talk about what Christ accomplished on the cross. Justification. Justification. I am declared righteous and acceptable to God. Romans 5:18. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. Redemption. The price of my salvation has been paid in full. Reconciliation. Friendship and fellowship have been restored. Romans 5:10. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, how much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life? Propitiation. God is able to show kindness to us, the sinner, and righteousness has been satisfied so we can be in full relationship with the Lord. 1 John 2:2. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for ours, but notice this, but also for the sins of the whole world. When the Day of Atonement took place, of course it was an Israel kind of thing, and it dealt with the nation of Israel. But when Christ died on the cross, it deals with the whole world. Any person who accepts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, anywhere in the world, at any time, is forgiven freely, fully, forever, and accepted by God. And so Christ died for the whole world. Now, some might feel this is simply like wordplay to make an issue of the use of atonement in the Old Testament, but not in the New. But the New Testament authors who were familiar with the word, they were mostly Jewish, they were very familiar with the sacrifices, and they were very familiar with the word atonement. They wanted to make sure that we understood every aspect of what Christ's sacrifice meant. No one word could do it. So we see many words, so full and complete was the work of Christ. John Piper, a well-known pastor, received a question about the atonement and the use of the atonement in the Old Testament, but not in the New. The man that asked the question was a guy named Brian And so he says, yes, Brian, I think you're right that the kippar idea, the atonement idea of the Old Testament is inadequate to describe what Christ accomplished when he shed his blood. I only want to add to your explanation that the New Testament writers were eager to tell us more about how God saved us through the death of Christ than any one word could ever have told it. And so what Jesus did was superior in every way to the Old Testament sacrificial system and the covering of sins. Hebrews 9:1. Now even the first covenant has regulations for worship and an earthly place of holiness. For a tent was prepared, the first section in which were the lampstand and the table and the bread of presence. It is called the holy place. Behind the second curtain was the second section called the most holy place, and having the golden altar of incense, the Ark of the Covenant, covered with all sides with gold, in which was a golden urn holding the manna and Aaron's staff that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. Above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot now speak in detail. These preparations having thus been made, the priests go regularly into the first section, performing the ritual duties, but only the second, the high priest goes, and he but once a year, and not without taking blood, which he offers for himself and for the unintentional sins of the people. And by this, the Holy Spirit indicates that the way into the holy place is not yet open. In the Old Testament, it wasn't open. The priest, once a year, could go into the holy place and offer sacrifice for the people. It wasn't open at that particular time, as long as the first section is still standing. But then he says, which is symbolic for the present age. According to this arrangement, gifts and sacrifices are offered that cannot perfect the conscience of the worshiper. That was the Old Testament atonement. But notice what he goes on to say. But deal only with food and drink and various washings and regulations for the body imposed until the time of reformation. But when Christ appeared as high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with human hands. That was the tent that Christ went through, is not of this creation. And we don't have a high priest like the Old Testament had, who could only go once a year. We have a high priest who is Jesus Christ, who dwells in the very presence of God. We have access to God clearly anytime, all the time. We can go into the throne room of grace because our high priest is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he died on our sins. So it says in Hebrews 9:12, he entered once for all into the holy place, not by means of blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. That is what satisfied the righteousness of God for all mankind, so that anyone who would call on the name of the Lord could be saved. Verse 13, for if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, notice this next line, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant. That's what we did today. We celebrated the new covenant. He is a mediator of the new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under, notice this, under the first covenant. All the sins of the first covenant, all the sins that take place now, the Lord Jesus Christ was sufficient, and his death on the cross covers it all. And if you cry out on the name of, to the name of the Lord, you will be forgiven. If you ask Christ to be your Savior, you will be forgiven. It is sufficient. And you say, well, you don't know what I've done, but God does, and it's sufficient. It has been settled at the cross. The scapegoat was released into the wilderness as a picture of God not bringing up their sins. They've been dealt with. Jesus is the one who by his death takes away sin And we need no more to have a day of atonement. What we have is the Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross on our behalf. So he goes on to say in Hebrews 10:17, then he adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Now let me just pause there a moment. Some people don't understand this passage. God does not suffer from amnesia. He does not forget. He will remember your sins for all of eternity, but he will not remember them in the way that we think of remembering. Let me explain how this works. You read the New Testament, and it mentions that somebody there that David had was the husband of Bathsheba, the one he committed sin with. Well, didn't God forget that? No, he said he would remember it no more. What's the difference between forgetting and remembering no more? Well, let me give you a little illustration. Let's say a father has three children, and two of the children do really well, one of them does not so well. And so the father says, as he's writing his will, he prepares certain things, and when he dies, all the kids anxiously go to the lawyer's office for the reading of the will. And the first son, to my son, I give this. Oh, great. The second son, to my son, I give this. Oh, great. The third son is not even mentioned in the will. Well, the son immediately declares, my father forgot me. Did he forget him? No. He knew he was his son. He knew who he was. What he did is he chose not to remember him. And that's how it is with sin. God doesn't forget because God can't forget, but he chooses not to remember. He doesn't bring it up all the time. He'll bring it up all the time and hold it against you. He has forgiven you. Hebrews 10:18, where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. You don't need to do anything but come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what he did on the cross is sufficient for you for all of eternity. And incidentally, and for all your sins, because you haven't committed all the sins you're going to commit. I hate to say that to you, but reality is we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. But what Christ did on the cross covers it all once and forever. And you can be assured of that. So you want your sins forgiven? Ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. There's a lot about living the Christian life. That comes next. But you begin by asking Jesus Christ to become your Lord and your Savior and to forgive you of your sins, knowing that you're a sinner, and he will come into your life, he will come into your heart, and he will forgive you, and you will be cleansed freely, fully, forever. That's not atonement. That's Jesus Christ dealing with sin, and there are just too many words to explain it all. You just have to take them all in. Propitiation, forgiveness, acceptance, you name it, Jesus did it. He was the perfect sacrifice, and you can be forgiven. Let's have a word of prayer together. Lord, let us understand that the death of Christ was beyond one word, beyond comprehension. The acceptance of the beloved by the Father, a perfect sacrifice planned from the foundation of the earth. Lord, what a wonderful thing. We serve a wonderful Savior. And I pray that everyone here with clarity knows that they have come to you and asked to be forgiven of sin and granted eternal life. And you said you will not cast out anyone who comes to you. And we have our confidence in that. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to our weekly sermon. Please like, share, and subscribe so you will be notified when the next sermon is uploaded. If you have any questions, would like a copy of the sermon notes, or would like to speak with someone directly, you can find our information on our website at cccmillville.org or in the podcast notes. Until next time, God bless.